Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. How are you doing today? Excellent. For the past 6 weeks, our scriptures have come from the parables in Matthew, where Jesus teaches us about the kingdom of heaven. Often we study these parables one at a time, as we are doing now, but I encourage you to think about them all at once when we read this next scripture. Today's scripture is the parable of the bags of gold. It is about three servants who have been entrusted by their master with his wealth while he goes on a journey. One interpretation of this parable is that the bags of gold represent the Holy Spirit that we're endowed with when we accept Christ as our Lord and Master. Some people, they hoard the Spirit, hide it, keep it away from others. But then there's others who take the Holy Spirit and have it alive in their body, and they go out and get more. You do this primarily through doing God's work. You do this by working in being sincere in your faith and not being a hypocrite. You do it like the five wise virgins and continually prepare by praying, worshiping God, encouraging others, and studying the Word. As a result, the Holy Spirit will grow in you, and it is magnified in your life. The result will be comfort and peace. Enriching the Holy Spirit in your life is what is meant in Matthew 6. First, seek the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Please listen to Matthew 25:14-30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave five bags of gold, to another two bags of gold, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. Also, the one who had with two bags of gold gained more, two more. But the one who received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants had returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with two bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received one bag of gold, "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put your money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would receive it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have it in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them and thrown that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I believe the Lord blesses the hearing and reading of the scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Question for you this morning. Are you a risk taker? Or do you know someone in your life, your family close to you, maybe your spouse, that is a risk taker? A young man enlisted in the 82nd Airborne Division. I think I've told this before, so bear with me, or some of you may have heard it. It started sounding familiar this morning. He was assigned to the jump school, and he eagerly awaited the recruiter and asked what he could expect at jump school. Well, said the recruiter, it's 3 weeks long. What else? The first week, they separate the men from the boys. The second week, they separate the men from the fools. And he said, well, what about the third week, the recruit asked. He said, the third week, the recruiter said with a grin, the fools jump. I don't know if jumping from an airplane appeals to you, but it does not appeal to me. Now, some of you have probably jumped from airplanes, whether in the service or just as a hobby. Or maybe you're more like the 6-foot, 8-inch man who applied for a job as a lifeguard. He stopped at the counter and announced, I'm here about the lifeguard job. And the recruiter asked, can you swim? And the man said, no, I can't swim, but I can wade out pretty far. I'm amazed at some of the risks young people take, especially today, in their extreme sports. I was watching a program not long ago when they, you know, they do the skates and they go up on those things and they flip around, and then the motorcycle. I used to ride motocross, and you would jump and you'd be flying and you'd turn in the dirt and jump those hills. Ah, I must have been crazy. There was a young boy not too long ago, a skateboarder who jumped over the Great Wall of China. He became the first person in history to clear the wall without motorized aid. 30-year-old Danny Way missed his first try, then completed the jump 3 more times across a 61-foot gap. That's an amazing jump. On the last 3 attempts, he added a 360-degree spin, and he had made this mega ramp near his house in California and then carried it and assembled it at the Great Wall. He says, I was aware of the dangers. My heart was pumping in my chest the whole time, and several thousand people, including the minister of extreme sports in China, came out to watch near Beijing. Now that's amazing to me. First of all, that he was successful. And secondly, that he would take such a risk. How about you? How big of a risk are you willing to take in your life? Jesus once told a parable that Bill just read about a man who was going on a journey. And before going on that journey, the man was obviously of great wealth. He called his servants and entrusted them, the wealth of them, to one servant. He gave 5 bags of gold. And someone estimated in today's value with, you know, the gold. Did you see on TV, bring your gold in? This bag would probably be about $2.5 million. To another, he gave 2 bags of gold, worth about $1 million. 1 bag of gold, worth about $500,000. A lot of money for anybody. Well, you know the story. The man received 5 bags, went out at once, did something with it. However, he invested it, doubled. Man given the 2 bags of gold went out, doubled his. The one man given the 1 bag of gold, he went out and buried his. Didn't get anything back for it. Remember the man in another of Jesus' parables who is digging in the field and finds a treasure buried there? Well, that was a very popular thing to do back then, and I imagine some people are doing it today, going in, finding a field or burying the money somewhere in the yard. And there's probably money buried all over America somewhere that people buried because they were scared of banks maybe during the Depression, or they've got gold dug somewhere. And people are still looking for treasures today. After some time, the master returned to settle accounts, and you know, gave him his bag. He was happy, but then the third one came up. He said, Master, I know that you're a very hard man. And I know that if I didn't give you all the money back, that you would have been very, very angry at me. So I dug it and I put it in the hole. And the master said, well, why did you do that? What was the use of me giving you this money if that's all you were going to do about it? You didn't take any risk with it. You didn't at least put it in the bank and get minimum interest back for it? No. And can you just see the man coming to him? Eyes downcast, mumbling to him, fearful, afraid. Now the master gives no indication that he is a hard man. What does he say to the first two men? He said, you've done well. You've done good. He praises them for what they have done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been blessed with this. You'll be blessed with more. But what does he say to the other one? You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvested where I've not sown and gathered where I've scattered seed. Get away from me. Go away. I don't want you anymore. You've done nothing. You've not brought me honor. So the boss was angry, frustrated, disappointed in the servant. I think this is a remarkable parable. So many of Jesus' parables come from real life situations, and they are designed to make us think today. They never go out of style. Notice that the third servant took his master's bag of gold and buried it in the ground simply because he was afraid. That's a common experience, fear. I wonder how many people miss out on doing something for God simply because they are afraid. Just fear. Not laziness, not anything else, just fear. Fear that they might do something for God and it'll be the wrong thing. Fear that someone will look at them and laugh at them. Fear that they'll make the wrong decision. We're always fearful about what other people will think about us. How we'll look in a situation. So we do nothing. We do it as teenagers. We do it as we become adults. And we become very anemic in our faith. So we just sit around. We're afraid of what others will think. And some people, this is such a dominating fear in their lives. Some of us are cowards for Jesus Christ. Mark Twain once said, it is curious that physical courage should be so common in the world and moral courage so rare. Some of us are even afraid to tell other people that we're Christians or that we go to church. We don't want to have to deal with that. We just want to skirt the issue. We don't really want them to know. We say, oh, my religion is private. My faith is private. A rap singer has a very interesting way of expressing it, and I'm not a very much for rap, but he's updated some of the advice given in the book of Ecclesiastes. He's got these lines. There's a time to speak and a time to shut up. There's a time to hunker down and a time to go downtown. There's a time to talk and a time to walk. There's a time to be mellow and a time not to be yellow. Well, he's right. There's a time not to be yellow. The third servant took his master's gold and buried it in the ground. He was yellow. He was a coward for his master. He buried his master's wealth because he was afraid. Notice that the man who was afraid of, he was afraid of his master. Is there any place in this parable that indicates that his master was a hard man? He appears to be a very generous man because he blesses the other two and gives them more. But his servant was afraid of his master. And we don't know why. We don't know why some people are afraid of God. Some of you grew up being afraid of God. You didn't see God as a loving deity. You saw God as a taskmaster, out to get you, out to harm you, out to punish you, out to send you to hell if he could, instead of bringing you to heaven and to glory. And some of you are still using that fear to drive you today, even to the point of coming to church, because you're scared not to be in church. You're scared not to be a Christian because you are so fearful just of going to hell instead of your excitement and enthusiasm of serving God and going to heaven. You've got it reversed. And I'm convinced that that kind of God that people have and believe about determines what kind of risk and how they will serve an almighty God. If you're here this morning out of fear, you probably are not enjoying worship very much. But if you're here because you love God, you're going to get something out of worship. There may be aspects of the worship service say, well, I don't like this so much, I would like to do this. But you're going to take something home from this that said that was good. Maybe it was the sermon. Maybe it was just a part of the sermon. Maybe it was the prayer. Maybe it was the fellowship. Maybe it was the music. Whatever it was. But you're going to find something positive that spoke to you. No wonder there's so little joy and power to our faith. Because God is looking for people who love him and enjoy him and are willing to step out in faith and do great things for him. I'm going to have to skip that story. Okay. Notice how angry the master was at the man who buried his gold rather than invested it. Throw that worthless servant outside, says the master, into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I always hate to even hear that line. I don't like that line. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sounds like mad dogs or wolves, you know. They got, what's that when they foam at the mouth, you know. What? Zombies. Yeah. Zombies. Yeah. Oh, I don't even want to get that in my mind. But it's important for us to realize that this is a parable and not an allegory. Jesus used parables. Jesus is not telling us that God is exactly like the man in this parable. I personally don't believe that God is going to toss us into outer darkness because we were Christians, but we didn't live up to our full potential. I mean, who would make it into heaven? I mean, how many of us would? But this parable does give us point quite emphatically. It is a terrible thing to bury the gifts that God has given you and not to use them. And we start talking about this in bags of gold, and I put up a screen with dollar bills. Everybody thinks, well, you're just talking about money. You're trying to get us to give money. Yeah, I want you to give money, but I want you to use your talents. Can you sing? Can you stand up and speak and be a part of the drama? Can you serve on the session council? Can you be a deacon? Can you teach Sunday school? What can you do that you can help the church? What can you do that you can help the kingdom of God? Can you invite someone to church? Can you write a card when you see someone's not here? Can you make a telephone call? Everything doesn't have to be something that's so big or even noticed or an announcement made about it. What can you do that is great for God? It's a terrible thing to live your life cowering in fear rather than trusting in your heavenly Father. The Bible said one does not light a lamp and put it under a bushel. Followers of Jesus are to live by faith and not by fear. And too many of us are living our lives full of fear. And fear stops us. Fear holds us back from moving forward as individuals, and it stops us from moving forward as the body of Christ. It always has, and it always will. We got a message about courage from the movie Lord of the Rings. There are a lot of teenagers here. They would know exactly what I'm talking about. In the first saga of the series entitled The Fellowship of the Ring, Frodo and Sam are leaving their beloved Shire and land of streams and valleys and meadows and forests, and they're about to take a journey that will take them to the very ends of the earth. Only they don't know that yet. They think that they're simply traveling to the next county. As they cross the field, Sam stops and Frodo stops as well. "What's the matter, Sam?" asks Frodo. "If I take one more step, I'll have gone further than I've ever gone." Frodo smiles, walks back to him, puts his arm around him, and reminds him that it's a dangerous thing just going out your front door. And together they take the next step and the next and the next and the dangers and wonders, imagining a life that transforms both of them, a life lived to the fullest, full of adventure and excitement. And followers of Jesus should live like that, by faith and not by fear. Sometimes that means to go further than you've ever gone before. Sometimes you've got to get up off the sofa, up out of your chair. Sometimes you've just got to leave your house. You've got to say, "I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength to do it. It's not all about me." When you start thinking that it's all about you, that's where you're messing up. You got to believe God will help you. I want to close with this illustration. A former police officer with the Los Angeles Police Department tells about a department that always demonstrate to the rookie officers the vests. And they put the vests on the mannequin, and then they'd take the guns and they would shoot at the mannequin wearing the vest. I won't call it bulletproof, because... And they would show, and those vests would stop the bullet. And the officers, young officers, are always very impressed. I'd like to be somewhere and see that demonstration done. I've seen it on TV, but I'm sure it's nothing like seeing it in real life. And then at the end of the demonstration, the lead officer would ask all the young officers for a raise of hands. Who would like to come up front and put on one of these vests and let us shoot you? It's one thing to watch the mannequin being shot with the vest. It's another thing for you to put the vest on and allow yourself to be shot. What God is asking you is not just stand by and watch someone else put on the vest. He's asking you to step forward, put on the vest, and do something great for Him. Do something for God. Following Jesus means walking by faith, not by fear. Following Jesus means trusting God. Following Jesus means seeking to hear the Master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because we've attempted to do something great for God. When I say something great for God, I don't mean changing the whole world. I might be just changing this one little thing that is a great thing. Sure, it involves risks. Sure, somebody may laugh at you. Yes, sure, somebody may challenge you. Sure, somebody may say, "That's not the way I would have done it." Boy, have I ever heard that. But you got to try. And you got to be willing to fail. Because off of your failures is where you climb the mountain to success. The rewards can be incredible. How about you? Are you willing to take a risk? Are we willing as a church to take the risk that we need to take to grow? Let's find out exactly what those risks are. Is the session council? Is the deacons? Is the women's group? Is the church as a whole? The youth group? Let's all talk. Let's think. Let's put our heads together. Let's pray. What can we do as a church to do great things for God. God bless you. Amen.